Welcome to Better Sex, where you get the information and inspiration to create and enjoy your best possible sex life. Join your host, sex therapist Jessa Zimmerman, as she brings you expert guests, helpful tips, knowledge, and strategies to improve your intimate relationships. And now, your host, Jessa Zimmerman.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Better Sex Podcast. This is Jessa, and I am so glad you are here. My goal in doing this podcast is to help. I mean, I certainly enjoy all the conversations that I have. It's a lot of fun, and I do this and send it out into the world, and I don't really know the impact. But my goal, at least, is to inspire or to educate or to support you to create your best possible sex life in your relationship. Along those lines, or maybe parallel to this offering of my podcast, I have started offering free Q&A webinars, sort of an Ask Me Anything format. I do them once a month with the goal of being of service. I want to help. So if you have questions, if you want to clarify something you've heard, or maybe you just want to chit-chat a little bit about sex and intimacy, or you've got questions, or you want to just expound on some of these topics, I would love to have you join me. This is free. It's for everyone that's on my mailing list. So if you're not a part of that group, I'd invite you to go to bettersexpodcast.com, pick the Join Me tab. You'll find out how to do it. Super easy. You know, I do send some information. I've got blog posts or articles or little blurbs. I mean, I won't overwhelm you. You'll get a little bit of stuff in your email, but you'll also get the link to participate in these Q&A sessions. So I hope you'll join me. So in trying to be helpful, here's yet another episode that I hope you will find at least interesting, if not relevant. Today, I'm talking to August McLaughlin, and she's a recognized health and sexuality writer, media personality, host, and she's creator of Girl Boner. That's the title of her book, first of all, but she's got a podcast, and she does speaking and publicity and support around this whole idea of finding and empowering your sexuality, your desire, your pleasure, you know, discovering this and integrating it so you can be fully, authentically fulfilled and yourself. And she's got a really interesting story, which you're going to hear about on the podcast. It blends her own history of growing up with sex ed that is, you know, mediocre, the kind of messages she got, you know, a history of getting into modeling and then struggling with a severe eating disorder, and all of this sort of coming together as she went through some sexual transformation. That's where she finally found healing and where she's found fulfillment and happiness. And that's what's, you know, spurred her to create this community in the book because, everybody needs this message. So she's a wonderfully entertaining guest and highly recommend her book if you haven't seen it yet. August McLaughlin is my guest. I hope you enjoy the show. August, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So could you start by just giving us the background on your story? You know, it seems like it's, you know, somewhat unusual or unique.
So I grew up in Minnesota and in a really loving home and had an experience probably similar to a lot of people's as far as sex ed goes, where I didn't learn very much.
Right.
And what I did learn was a little intimidating. I remember learning a little bit about, quote, male pleasure, like that it existed at least. It was alluded to.
Okay.
So that's positive. However, when I heard that, I sat there in anticipation thinking, oh, something great is going to happen for me. Like, what am I going to learn that's going to be positive for girls and for women? And we learned about cramps and tampons, and I'm going to be bleeding for a quarter of much of my adulthood. And it just was very kind of horrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was kind of my intro into, I guess you could say, sexual self-discovery, but it started out in a very kind of myth-based, confused way, but it instilled a lot of curiosity in me, and that really has driven me ever since.
Okay. So it sounds like you had a little bit of uphill battles in there, but the seed of, wait, there might be something in here that's worth pursuing or figuring out.
Yeah, completely. And it was interesting because there was sort of this cloak of secrecy around it, where I knew I wasn't really supposed to talk about sex, so I couldn't ask these questions. Or if I did express a question, I would kind of be told to be quiet, or you're not supposed to talk about that. So I didn't really know what my body was capable of as far as pleasure or any of the positive things until I started to experiment myself. And I think a lot of people learn that way through experience. So I did have pleasurable sexual experiences from, you know, early on with my first serious boyfriend, but I hadn't realized that I carried around sexual shame for a very long time.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't until I went into the modeling industry and I was traveling around the world. I lived in New York and then I lived in Paris, and I developed a really severe eating disorder. And it hit me one day during my recovery. I was sitting in this college classroom and the teacher said, "We're going to talk about sex today." And it just was like mind blowing to me that we were speaking about this. Uh-huh. And that I hadn't talked about it really struck me, because I'd had sex but not really spoken about it.
Yeah.
And that started to shift things in my own illness and my recovery process. And it took me a while to realize how powerful that discovery was, but it was the beginning of me no longer wanting to starve myself.
So what's the connection, do you think, between the eating disorder, sexual shame, or the invisibility of sex, or we don't talk about sex? Like, what's the connection between all that, and then what's been the connection in that healing or breakthrough?
That's a great question. I think it's really hard to separate how we feel about our whole bodies and our emotional selves if we have sort of this line above the pelvis where we call it down there, and we just sort of don't really talk about it. And if we engage, we feel like it's kind of dirty, quote unquote, or wrong. And even if you resist those messages, even if you don't believe them, it's really hard not to absorb them.
Yeah.
And for me, the really obvious thing that showed me that sexual shame was a huge part of it was, it's sort of like if someone tells you you have a sore throat, they give you a cough drop, but you still have it, then maybe it's strep. You take strep medication and then it's gone. For me, it was the awakening, like the beginning of sexual empowerment, was the only thing that was helping me. When I looked at, you know, working with a therapist was certainly helpful, but it wasn't getting me, like, it felt like there was this underlying thing that was not addressed. No one asked me about my sexuality. We talked about my spirituality and my physical health, and I saw doctors and I saw a dietitian, but nobody asked me, "Do you masturbate?" You know, which might sound like a really provocative question for somebody to ask when you're in eating disorder treatment.
Right.
But if someone had just asked me about, you know, "Do you ever experience solo, like, sexual pleasure on your own?" That would have been world-changing for me.
Huh.
I think it's really important.
So it wasn't until retrospect. I mean, it sounds like you were in treatment for eating disorder. It's not quite resolving. And when the sexual, I guess when you heard that in class, or I guess we'll talk more about the sexual journey at that point, that's when it all sort of fell into place. So looking back, it's like, oh, okay, it had something to do with sexual shame or my own comfort with my body and sexuality.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, hindsight, it became clearer and clearer over time. In the immediate time, it was helpful in that I started to get a little angry. And that was not an emotion that I'd really felt much before.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know if I hadn't allowed myself to feel angry. I would get frustrated with myself, and I would get sad, and I would get anxious, and I was struggling with depression that was unaddressed. And there were a lot of things that were happening, but anger at something outside of me was really powerful. And when I realized that I had been sort of, not even sort of, I'd been taught to not go there, to not embrace my sexuality. No one meant to do that. I think it's really ingrained in our culture and our society in many different ways, but that made me angry because there's not the same kind of pressure on a man to not embrace his sexuality. Certainly they have their own challenges too. We all need comprehensive sex education, but we say, "Yeah, boys will be boys, go for it. Yay." And I never got those messages, and I started to realize that I didn't know much about my sexual anatomy. I had, again, been having pleasurable sex.
Right.
That was an interesting piece, but it became much more pleasurable and much more about my own body, and I started to respect my body more because I was seeing it for something that was worth cherishing and was capable of pleasure and, you know, all this wonder, instead of, yes, the sex is good. It helped my brain a lot. I'm diagnosed ADHD. I feel like orgasm and kind of the pursuit of it helped my brain quite a lot.
Something to focus on, right?
Seriously, only time that I could focus, really. So it was medicinal to that degree. But I think if I had learned about my own body and how to pleasure myself early on, I wouldn't have gotten into a lot of relationships with people that probably I shouldn't have been in a relationship with, for example.
Okay.
And all of that also gets to your self-esteem, I think.
Right. So retroactive, I mean, looking back again, once this all started to come together to you, it sounds like even though you'd been having some pleasurable sex and feeling pretty good about your sex life, did you see it differently once you look back and realize, oh, wait, there was a lot wrong with what I was doing?
Yes, totally. And it was interesting because there are all these layers, right? So I had this epiphany, but as you know, it's not like, okay, everything's fixed. it was like the beginning of this journey. But I had to go through a little bit of a grieving process, looking at my life to that point and going, oh, wow, I've struggled so much and this wouldn't have happened. And that, I mean, the eating disorder was very, very severe.
Really?
And yeah. And now, you know, I'm grateful for the whole path because I feel like it's given me the sense of purpose and direction in my life. But at the time I had to kind of grieve this, the young adult time when you're supposed to be really sexually free and having a great time. And I was pretty sick and struggling. So I went through that, but I still did not think that masturbation was a thing for me. Like I thought, oh, I don't really need it because I have a partner and I can have sex when I want to. So, and also I tend to feel pleasure more internally. I know a lot of people with vulvas prefer external stimulation, but I'm much more internal. And so I would hear people say rubbing on the outside, and that was really not that exciting for me. So it was a combination of those things, but I even wrote a paper in that class about why I don't need to masturbate.
Oh, really?
Which cracks me up now because
I thought you should pull it out and revisit that, you know.
Seriously, yes. Yeah. So it wasn't until years later that I had my first masturbation experience that was so powerful, and that was sort of a turning point for me as far as my career and my path. I went from modeling to acting to writing, and I was full-time writing, health writing, doing a lot of work around body image, and in a really wonderful monogamous relationship, and my partner was away and working really long hours. And so I didn't have that convenience that I had taken for granted.
Okay.
I also hadn't yet connected that every time I would try to be single, I would get horny and then I'm in another relationship.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That did not hit me. Right. And so it's a really interesting night that I had. I was actually 30 years old and was watching Netflix and feeling kind of blah. And I felt, it's weird, I couldn't connect to my own desire by myself. Like if there wasn't someone else there, I just was like, oh, I'm depressed, I'm pining after somebody, this is kind of really irritating, I should be stronger than this. And I end up, you know, on Netflix, you can, it'll like recommend stuff for you.
Right.
It recommended, and this sounds like a sitcom, it recommended Diary of a Nymphomaniac. Which is really funny now, looking back.
Yeah, right.
And it was a French film. It's a beautiful film. And it's about a young woman who has a very voracious sexual appetite and she's acting on it, like from the beginning of the film. And I'm sitting on the sofa like, okay, fine. Let me just be a total masochist. I start watching it and my hand involuntarily went to my vulva. Wow. And then I just started to go, huh, I wonder. And I remember that I had a toy that someone had given my partner and I as like a gay gift.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I went upstairs. I felt like a teenager. It was like very exciting. And I used the toy and I masturbated and I experienced my first like solo orgasm and immediately burst into tears because it was such a powerful, profound experience. And that's when I started to go, whoa, look at all these experiences that I've had. And, you know, this is really, I need to do something about this. And that's when I started Girl Boner.
Hi, it's Jessa here, taking just a quick break. Thanks for listening so far. I wanted to let you know about the sex quiz that I've put together called How Healthy Is Your Sex Life? I've taken a close look at the typical ways that I see couples get into trouble with sex, including avoidance, neglect, negativity, distraction, and boredom. And the free quiz will score your individual results based on these factors. And then I provide my recommendations and ideas, including my top 10 sex tips, which will help you make instant improvement. If you'd like to take the quiz and see how healthy your sex life is, you can do it right now at sexhealthquiz.com.
Yeah, now it's interesting because one of the themes I'm hearing are you keep having these surprising emotions. You know, masturbate, orgasm, break into tears, or all of a sudden there's anger. Like, you know, that these are clues, you know, maybe not even subtle ones, that, wow, this goes to some pretty deep stuff.
It really does. Yeah, it really does. I think it's a profound journey that we are all on as far as our own sexual self-discovery. And when you have gone years and years, you know, hearing these mixed messages or negative kinds of ideas around sexuality, it's not something you can just erase quickly. I think it takes time, and there's no shame in that. It's been a really exciting journey. I mean, that was almost like going through another puberty in a way, but without the ick parts, really. It was just the exciting part of, like, when you're first starting to, like, be attracted to people. You know, it was like I was attracted to my own solo experiences, and oh, this new, like, I called my partner right away and said, guess what I did? Like, I was so, like, overjoyed. And my partner, very shy, and we're still together today. And he was so, he's, like, at work around all these people. And I could hear him.
You're right, right. Like, that's great, honey. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and he was, it's funny. It's, like, one of our favorite conversations now. It was a very innocent thing. I just was like, I just got a new puppy, you know? Like, I just had an orgasm by myself. Yeah, it's been incredible. And then to hear from so many other people about their own experiences, because at first I thought, well, maybe, you know, people need to know about this. There must be people, I thought women everywhere needed to know about masturbation. Like, I didn't realize it's fairly uncommon. I mean, it happens, but I've asked hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe three who I've talked to have said that they too were, like, late bloomers in the masturbation department. Certainly, if you're asexual and don't masturbate at all, that's also completely great. But they also felt like they were missing out. But for the most part, you know, I've met people who started masturbating when they were, you know, 5, 10, 12. And so that was a surprise to me to go, oh, wow, that's awesome. I think that's
I know cool. in my sex therapy practice, of course, that I've got a larger percentage of women, you know, people with vulvas that haven't masturbated, and even some people with penises. But those are people coming into sex therapy too. So that's sort of a different audience than the entire general public.
Right, exactly. Which I always find really fascinating because I work with a sex therapist on my podcast. And I notice the questions I get that we answer are very different from the questions she gets.
Ah, yes. So what was sort of the time frame? Because you said you had that class, which I think you said was in college. Right. And then you start to turn the corner with the eating disorder. I'm just sort of wondering about the development between that and your first masturbation at, I think you said, was like 30, right? There's 10 years in there.
Yeah.
So what was sort of happening or healing or transforming across that whole decade?
Yeah, I would say it probably took 8 to 10 years to move fully past the eating disorder, even though that was the biggest turning point in my healing. It still is a process. I had a lot of work to do there. So I was in school in Minnesota, and I then ended up, once I felt healthier as far as, like, I felt more stable, I had this weird sort of feeling of, I had left modeling. I felt like the career was sort of, I felt almost like taken from me. Like, I didn't have a choice. I got really sick, right? It wasn't I left on purpose. And then I also felt remorse over the images because I was very emaciated in images that were published in magazines and that kind of thing. And just for myself, I felt like I had to somehow, I guess, try to make up for it or something. So I ended up, I didn't want to go back into the high fashion stuff, but I was really drawn to creative arts, which is what led me into modeling in the first place, was acting and theater. And so I moved to Miami to do like commercial modeling and the sort of like models who can act type thing. started studying acting for film. Right. And all through that, you know, I'm growing and you're having lots of bumps along the way. But at that time I was, I guess you could say I was a serial monogamist where I go from one relationship to the next relationship to the next relationship. Right. One of those relationships was actually a brief marriage that I now call my pseudo marriage because it felt like we had a really cool party. We didn't know each other very well. We got married for not the best of reasons. In Minnesota, still, the average age of marriage there, I think, is 24.
Wow.
All three of my sisters got married to their first love. They're still married. Like, so I just thought I was getting old at like 23. So I moved to Miami with my then pseudo, my husband at the time, and was doing the acting work and really fell in love with that. And when we divorced, that was another really empowering time for me because I realized that part of the reason I needed to like latch onto someone and get married was I was so afraid of being alone.
Yeah.
After being so sick in Paris in a place where I didn't speak the language, I was very sick, scared of dying. And I thought maybe I'll never be able to leave my family in Minnesota again, even though I've always had these dreams of being in the arts and traveling. And so the two of us went together and, you know, our insecurities were kind of bumping up against each other. And when I realized that, you know, we needed to try a separation, I started to blossom in a way I hadn't before. Mm-hmm. The only missing piece was my sexuality was still tied to a person.
Yeah, yeah.
So I could only be single for so long. And right. Again, I would end up in like a relationship.
Wow. So tell me about Girl Boner. I mean, I know you wrote the book, but what else is it? What's your mission? What are you doing?
Sure. So after that life-changing orgasm, which actually is this, it's the first story I share in the book, the orgasm that changed my life, that at that time, so again, I was 30 years old and had a health writing career going and just felt like I need to do more with this. This is, people had said to me prior to that, you should do a memoir about your eating disorder. And I was always like, that doesn't feel like my story. There's something I could write about that. There are other books about that. Certainly if I thought it needed to be written, I would, but I thought that's not it. And once I realized that it was all about sexual empowerment, I decided to trademark the term or apply to trademark the term girl boner because that had been kind of a joke term for me since when I was in grade school, that awkward class, when I learned about a little bit about pleasure for guys. And I remember being on the schoolyard and finding out what a boner, what boner meant.
Right, right.
Oh, that's that. And my immediate thought was, what about girl boners?
Yeah, right.
So it was kind of a joke term for me and, you know, whoever I would be dating or for years. And I just thought it was funny. And I thought, you know, that is in a nutshell, that is the story that my life has been writing. And so I decided I wanted to write the book because I'm a writer. So that's where my mind goes. But I felt like I should build a platform, see if people are interested in this topic. So I'd already been blogging about a lot of other topics like my dog and nutrition, and I'd written a thriller. And so I was all over the place. And I launched a series called Girl Boner on my blog. And it was my sex ed story. And I've said that one blog post changed my life because in many ways it did. It changed kind of the course of my work. Mm-hmm. People started to follow along that series. And then I started to do appearances on people's podcasts and radio shows and stuff like that, which led to my own podcast, Girl Boner Radio, which started a year later. And then it was probably 3 or 4 years after that, because I started Girl Boner 6 years ago on my blog. And then I ended up writing the book proposal. It took a while to get, you know, all the dots lined up and you have to find your agent and your publisher. But the book released, Girl Boner released last year. And then there's a companion book coming out that's a journal, a guided journal in May. Yeah.
So speak a little bit about the importance of journaling. Like, where you hadn't mentioned doing your own journaling yet, but has that been part of your process? Like, you know,
journaling helped me realize that the person that I had been married to in Miami, that I was not happy, that we were not. I think because, again, I hadn't fully been allowing all these emotions. And when you journal, you can let all of your thoughts out without fear of what other people will think. And I would get up and, do you know Julia Cameron?
No, I don't.
Okay. So she has this great book called The Artist's Way.
Okay. Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. And she has an exercise. And the exercise is you wake up every morning and you free write 3 pages. I was doing that when I was in Miami, and so much was coming out about my acting and my creative aspirations and feeling like I wanted to be creating something. And then all the kind of angst I had about the relationship I was in was coming out in ways that I wouldn't have said out loud. And so it helped me, even though that was galvanizing, it also was very important, because that was an important discovery. That was a very true thing that I needed to connect with. And so it allowed me to have more clarity in my life and really pursue and put down on paper kind of where I wanted my life to lead. And so anytime that I have felt stuck somehow, I just free write. And I found that to be a really powerful tool for sexual self-discovery, whether it's to talk about a kink or a fetish that you are curious about but don't quite feel comfortable talking about yet, or an issue that you're having with a partner, or your own body image, you know, something about maybe you're struggling with a lot of compulsive dieting, or feeling like you don't like the wrinkles that are appearing, or whatever it is. There's something that allows you to get deeper underneath that superficial layer and tap into the root cause.
So if Girl Boner is not just for women that have never masturbated, since there aren't that many of them, how do you talk about your mission or your goal? Like, what are you trying to achieve?
I want people to fully embrace their sexuality, however they define it, and by extension themselves. I want people to live really authentic lives. And I think there are so many types of empowerment, and it's all important. Sexual empowerment tends to be a piece that's missing for a lot of people, especially women and people in the LGBTQ community. Yeah. So I welcome all genders, and my audience is very mixed. But it's really for anybody who wants to take that journey further. And I think that's a journey that hopefully keeps going. I mean, you know best, but I feel like hopefully throughout our lives, we're discovering more about ourselves and embracing this exciting journey and all these new things that we can experience, and about our desire, our bodies, how we relate to people. I think sexuality is in everything we do.
Yeah. So could you tell us just a little bit more about, you know, where people find you, where they get the book, what kind of other offerings you've got?
Sure. So my website is augustmclaughlin.com, or you can go to girlboner.org. It's a little easier to remember. I also have Girl Boner Radio, my podcast, which is on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify. And my book, Girl Boner, is available most anywhere books are sold. You can also pre-order Girl Boner Journal on Amazon.
When is that coming out?
Girl Boner Journal is coming out May 7th.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. And I'm really excited about it. It has a lot of anecdotes. So I interviewed a lot of people for that one too. It has stories from my life as well, but I talked to people of all different ages and did a lot of surveys. So each topic, it takes the journaling prompts that are in Girl Boner, because each chapter has a few prompts. It takes them much deeper.
Okay. Okay. Wonderful. Yeah. And by the time this comes out, I mean, I don't know when this will air, but it may be available. So I will definitely put those links in the show notes too.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that.
You are welcome. Thank you so much for being on the show.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for the work you do. It's so important.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Better Sex. Please visit our website, bettersexpodcast.com, for show notes and additional episodes.
And that's a wrap for today. I really hope you enjoyed the episode. If you are enjoying the podcast, if some of this material resonates with you and you would like to make a difference and make sure that this keeps coming out in the world once a week, ongoing, there are a couple things you could do to show your appreciation. The first would be to go to iTunes and rate and review the show. That really helps us be found by new listeners when you review the show on iTunes. You can find a link at bettersexpodcast.com/iTunes. The other thing I want to invite you to consider is becoming a Patreon. For a small monthly pledge, you get some benefits. So for $2 a month, you get advance access to every single episode. For $5 a month, you get a chapter of my upcoming new book. And for $10 a month, I host quarterly get to know you and question and answer chats over the web, and you get invited to that. I would love to have your membership in that become part of the Better Sex family. You can find a link at bettersexpodcast.com/Patreon, which is P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Again, thanks for listening. I'm glad you're here. Feel free to comment, ask questions, get in touch. I'd love to hear from listeners. Thanks.